This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from the Buick Enclave, the finest luxury crossover ever. Visit buick.gm.ca to see that where there's passion, there's beauty.
Hello, this is the Listener's Choice Podcast. I'm Terry Reardon calling from Edmonton. I would like to hear Down on the Farm from the Sunday edition. This was a great documentary that identified changes in professional baseball in Canada. As a baseball fan who has seen the city's Edmonton Trappers go to Round Rock, Texas, and who has watched the Golden Baseball League replacement, the Edmonton Cracker Cats, struggle to establish itself, I feel that this documentary thoroughly explored the issues surrounding the game. Additionally, I think that Ira Bazin, the documentary's producer, did a great job of discussing the challenges teams face, as well as highlighting what these teams may need to do to survive. I found the balance of reportage and insight made this a documentary that more Canadians should get to enjoy.
The catcher is there, Dusty Wathen.
It ended not with a big bang, but with a slow roller to second base. Dusty Wathen, a 34-year-old journeyman catcher, sporting a .239 batting average, was at the plate for the Lynx. There were two out and two on in the bottom of the ninth. The Lynx were trailing by three. Wathen's ground ball was handled cleanly by the second baseman for the Syracuse Sky Chiefs. He scooped it up and threw to first base, easily beating the slow-moving Wathen to the bag. Game over. Season over. Franchise over. The crowd of nearly 7,500 people, by far the largest of the season in Ottawa, barely seemed to notice. It had been on its feet cheering throughout the bottom of the ninth, as if somehow that would help delay the inevitable. But this was not a season of miracles in the nation's capital. The Lynx 8-5 loss was their 88th of the season, against only 55 wins. And for most of the 72 home games this year, the lame duck franchise was lucky to attract a couple of thousand people to a stadium that holds more than 10,000. The crowd stayed on its feet, cheering for about 10 minutes after the last out had been recorded. But the Lynx players, perhaps as a show of disdain for a city that had ignored them until the final weekend of the season, never emerged from their clubhouse for a curtain call. Instead, fans were left to cheer for the manager's 2-year-old son as he valiantly tried to run the bases. A sad and embarrassing end to a sad and embarrassing season of baseball. And when the fans had run out of all possible reasons to cheer, and they finally had to leave for the last time, the PA system pumped out music to match their melancholy mood. One of the stragglers, still proudly wearing her Lynx jersey, was longtime season ticket holder Norma Toronto.
I could cry, and I probably will. It was wonderful having them, and I'm sorry they're going.
And why do you think they are going? Why do you think it didn't work here?
Because not enough people came out. Look at them today. Where were they all this time?
And how many games do you get to a year?
72.
Oh, really?
Yes. We've missed about 5 games in 14 years.
Really?
Yes.
So this must be a really sad time for you.
It's a very sad day. Lots of good memories, though. Lots of good memories.
The Lynx died because the fans didn't come out. And the fans didn't come out because, well, you walk through the stands here and you'll discover everyone's got an opinion, ranging from the weather to the notoriously fickle nature of Ottawa sports fans to something involving a chocolate bar. But the problem is not just in Ottawa. 4 Canadian AAA teams have folded in the last 7 years. Minor league teams affiliated with big league clubs have all but disappeared off the Canadian baseball landscape. What's gone wrong?
The short answer is that fundamentally baseball can't work in Canada.
That's the view of Howard Bloom. He's the publisher of SportsBusinessNews.com, a highly respected Ottawa-based online newsletter that explores the economics of sports.
Canada as a country loves hockey. If you were to name the top 10 sports in Canada, hockey would be 1 through 10, and number 11, 12, or 13 could be any one of soccer, baseball, basketball, or football. The bottom line is baseball is not popular in Canada. Let's go from east to west. The Expos are dead and gone. The Lynx are dead and gone. The Blue Jays are doing okay. There was a AA team in London, dead and gone. Used to be AAA baseball team in Winnipeg. Used to be AAA baseball in Edmonton, Calgary, and Vancouver, all dead and gone. Yes, there's independent league teams, and there's an A-League in Vancouver, but bottom line is baseball is dead in Canada.
Now, baseball in Canada goes back a long way. There have been minor league teams here since the 1870s, and the game's death knell has been sounded many times. But baseball is facing challenges now that simply weren't on the horizon back in the days of the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Montreal Royals. Back then, the Stanley Cup was awarded in April, not June, and sports fans didn't have the choices and the short attention spans that they do now in the age of satellite television. But what's striking about the demise of the Ottawa Lynx is how quickly they went from heroes to zeros. The franchise began in 1993 as the AAA affiliate of the Montreal Expos. It was a match made in baseball heaven. Ottawa had always been an Expos town, and now fans could see the club's top prospects hone their skills in a Lynx uniform and then watch them in action at Olympic Stadium when they got called up to the big league club. The city of Ottawa laid out $17 million to build a new stadium, and in that first year, fans packed it nearly every night, even battling the cold and snow of Ottawa in the springtime. The team drew nearly 700,000 people, shattering an attendance record for their league that had stood for 47 years. But after that promising start, things began to go very wrong. Attendance fell from an average of 10,000 a game to fewer than 2,000 in under a decade.
I'm one of the problems. I went from being here at 70 games a year to probably 15 a year now.
That confession was offered up by longtime Ottawa broadcaster Max Keeping. He says there's no single factor to explain why the city fell out of love with his baseball team. But he points the finger at marketing mistakes made by the team's original owners.
We went through a down period here where the experience wasn't what it had been in the beginning. And here in the entertainment business, and you've got to be able to appreciate the entire experience. And for a while, I think the owners took us for granted. It gets hung up on, you know, the fact that we couldn't throw chocolate bars one day, and people didn't never forgave the owners for that.
Yes, the chocolate bars. We might as well deal with that one right away. Here's the story. In the mid-1990s, the Expos had an outfielder named Henry Rodriguez, who was having a big year, hitting lots of homers. And every time he would hit a home run in Olympic Stadium, fans would throw O. Henry bars onto the field. Well, one day, the Expos came to Ottawa to play an exhibition game against the Lynx, and fans brought O. Henry bars to the game in case Rodriguez hit one out of the park. But when they got to the stadium that night, security staff confiscated all the O. Henry bars, forcing the fans to buy them at inflated prices from the stadium concession stands. The Lynx owner at the time was a local businessman who also owned the city's junior hockey team, and he failed to understand the critical difference between the two franchises. You sell hockey in Canada by selling the sport. You sell baseball by entertaining the fans and keeping them engaged when there's nothing happening on the field. You need to let them throw chocolate bars. You can't leave them feeling like their hometown team is trying to rip them off.
The shortstop, Dakota, Jed Lowry.
And even though the team changed owners 7 years ago, many fans still have not forgiven or forgotten the night Henry Rodriguez came to town. Kyle Bostwick, now the team's general manager, says he's still living with the fallout. He has a bunch of theories on why things haven't worked out. At the top of his list is the fact that the city took away most of the parking spots around the stadium, and the collapse of the Expos seemed to suck the oxygen out of baseball in Ottawa. As for the chocolate bars, well, that's one story he's not buying.
You really have to kind of sit people down and have them answer honestly. Do I feel that people aren't coming to this ballpark because someone took away an O. Henry bar 10 years ago? It's ridiculous. If it is, it's the most ridiculous excuse I've ever heard in my life. There's obviously another reason. If you're a baseball fan and you had an O. Henry bar taken away from you in 1995 or 1996 or whenever it was, it's then you're not a baseball fan. I don't care, and I'll argue that till the cows come home. So I don't know what the answer is.
Here's the center fielder, both the shortstop, Javon Moran.
Okay, let's do what Kyle Boswick suggests we do. Let's take the O. Henry defense off the table and explore what really happened here. And while we're at it, let's see what it all means for the future of professional baseball in Canada. But the place to do that is not here at this last home game, in the middle of this big crowd of mostly former fans who've returned to party like it was 1993 one more time. Because sadly, this crowd does not reflect the reality of Ottawa Lynx baseball in its final season. To capture that, you had to be here a few weeks ago. It was a Wednesday night in mid-August, first game of a homestand between the Lynx, now the farm team of the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Pawtucket Rhode Island Red Sox, featuring many of Boston's top prospects. Game time temperature was 21 degrees. It was one of those nights that reminds you why there's simply no better place to spend a summer's evening than at the ballpark. But as the game began, the crowd in the stands numbered in the hundreds, not the thousands. The night before, the Lynx had closed out a road trip in Rochester in front of 8,800 fans. But tonight, of the million or so people who live in the Ottawa area, only 1,787 were prepared to shell out a top price of $11 to watch some of the best ballplayers this side of the major leagues. For the Lynx to have had any hope of making money here, they needed to average about 4,500 people a game. For the past couple of seasons, their average was less than half that. And so the owners stripped the game down to its bare essentials, which is why you don't hear many of the familiar sounds of a summer night at the ballpark.
Cold beer, ice cold beer here.
Like vendors hawking beer in the stands.
Cold beer for sale.
They stopped doing that at Lynx games when the crowds got too small to make it worthwhile. They also stopped having wacky contests between innings and tossing rolled up t-shirts into the seats. Promotions like these have become standard operating procedure at minor league parks these days, but not in Ottawa.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, your 2007 Ottawa Lynx.
All in all, Lynx baseball had become a pretty joyless experience in a pretty joyless ballpark. In the team's dying days, the pool of fans was reduced to the hardcore, people who came here not to be entertained by the bells and whistles. They simply came for the love of the game. Over on the third base line are four men, all retired, all original season ticket holders, who don't get out here very often anymore. They're talking about what's gone wrong with baseball in Ottawa. One man named Jim, wearing a vintage St. Louis Cardinals jacket, says that perhaps the biggest mistake that the team owners made was not understanding how precarious baseball actually is in Canada.
Essentially, baseball culture is fragile here. It's not non-existent, but it's fragile here and needs some special attention, and it doesn't get it. You know, I played ball until I was 59. I'm 65 now. I played in Manitoba when I was 59. Ballparks that I played in are gone. They're soccer fields now, which is cool. I mean, that's great. But, you know, I mean, while baseball culture is kind of more of my generation, maybe people middle age, there isn't a general fostering of baseball culture in the community. There are lots of fans, but there's no, they watch on TV, they follow the newspaper, they don't play, and they don't come out here. I've been in Canada for 40 years, but I grew up in Southern Illinois. And there you don't have to try to sustain baseball culture. It's all around you. Every place you walk, there's a park, and every kid's picking up a bat and a ball and playing catch. So it's different here, and I think just like you had to work to create a hockey culture in the U.S., which did need to be done, it wasn't there, you have to work to create or sustain one here, and the effort isn't being put in.
And part of that effort, Jim says, is to get fans here to appreciate not just the game of baseball itself, but that peculiar variation of the game that's played down on the farm.
When you follow AAA ball, and this gets back to the baseball culture thing, you're following a developmental process. They do play to win, but winning titles is not the objective of AAA ball. It's to develop players so that they can be Major League Baseball players. And I think fans in Ottawa may have a hard time appreciating that rather than the game for the game itself. It's if they're having a bad year, then we just can't be bothered. And that's actually not what trip minor league ball is all about.
Winning may not be the objective in AAA ball, but that does make it a pretty hard sell for the fans. It's something that Tom Volk has experienced firsthand. Volk currently runs the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame in St. Mary's, Ontario. But for a couple of years in the 1990s, he was the general manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates AAA team based in Calgary.
I remember in Calgary, I would always dedicate three innings every game to just walking the stands and sitting with kids or maybe an old man there by himself. And I can't tell you how many people would say to me, you got to trade for so-and-so. You got to bat this guy in such a certain place in the lineup. Well, of course, it was a very clean division that the general manager and the staff of the AAA club run, sell the tickets, sell the parking, sell the concessions. But it's the major league club, and I'll use the Calgary as the example. Again, our affiliate that particularly year was the Pittsburgh Pirates. Well, of course, they decide what players are going to be there. They decide where they're going to bat and why. As an example, Pittsburgh had a kid who was going to be their designated closer, and he closed out every game in Calgary, whether we were winning, whether we were losing, whether the margin was three runs or less or not. But Matt Ryan's job was to come in and save ball games and get used to that role. So the fans in Calgary, if the guy had a no-hitter going, it didn't matter. Ryan was coming in to close, and the fans would boo and just not understand those types of things.
Which raises an interesting question. Maybe the reason why minor league baseball in Ottawa and Calgary and other Canadian cities has floundered is not because of the weather or the parking or the chocolate bars. Maybe it says more about the relationship that Canadian fans have with the game. A country with a fragile baseball culture, a country whose only major league club has no farm teams based in Canada, may be looking for something else out of the game. Maybe we no longer want to be a way station for highly paid American stars. Maybe we're looking for a different kind of baseball experience.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's really hear it for your 2007 Winnipeg. Go!
And if you're looking for proof that reports of baseball's demise in Canada may be greatly exaggerated, just head to downtown Winnipeg, to a small jewel of a ballpark, and see the future of Canadian baseball. It's the home base of a minor league team called the Winnipeg Gold. The Gold Eyes play in the Northern Baseball League. It's known as an independent league because none of the teams are affiliated with big league clubs. The Gold Eyes have been around for 14 seasons, and their phenomenal success has attracted interest throughout the baseball world. While Ottawa's AAA team struggled to find a couple of thousand fans in the nation's capital, the Gold Eyes routinely fill their stadium with crowds of more than 7,000. The man who brought the team to Winnipeg is Sam Cates, whose popularity as Winnipeg's Mr. Baseball helped him become Mr. Mayor in 2004. And when you ask Sam Cates about the secret to the ball club's success, he speaks like a man who has spent most of his life in the entertainment industry, which he has.
Our philosophy is quite simple. The answer is yes. Now, what's the question? We, I think, are very cognizant of who the boss is. The boss is our fan. And we cater to our fan and make sure they have a good time. And we call this quality and affordable family entertainment.
It's time now for the Super Bowl Auto Center Quaker State Prize Cannon. Be sure to make some noise so they know where to shoot the prizes. There they come.
This is about as far removed from old-time baseball as you can get. Nothing gets in the way of the game, but when there's no action on the field, there's always action somewhere else in the ballpark. There's the Winkler meets Hacky Sack toss, the old Dutch chips and seed tosses, the Hershey product toss, various mascot races, bat spins, and one contest where two lucky fans get dressed up in oversized sumo wrestling suits and challenge each other to an obstacle race. The key thing is that if you want to see professional baseball being played, you'll like it here. But if you don't, you'll still like it here. This is where Winnipeg has succeeded and where Ottawa failed. The Gold Eyes have been able to attract people like Katie, sitting with her family in the $5 seats out in left field.
It's affordable, and there's a playground so my kid can play there, and he loves to cheer and sing the songs. And
are you actually a baseball fan?
I love the Gold Eyes. I don't really like the big baseball games. But
so what's the difference between being a Gold Eyes fan and being a baseball fan?
I think regular baseball's boring, but the Goldeyes is a lot of fun. They throw things into the crowd, and they play good music, and they really get the fans involved, and Goldie's a lot of fun, and the kids really get into it.
Now, Goldie's the mascot, right?
Yes, he's the mascot. He's got two baseballs for ears.
Katie's connection to baseball culture might be somewhat tenuous, but according to Tom Volk, she and people like her may well represent the future of baseball in Canada.
Like it or not, for baseball purists, baseball games in Winnipeg are not even secondary. They will be about the third or fourth most important thing after the mud wrestling and the bingo contest between innings and the music and all the things that surround it. But you know what? It works there. It's becoming the formula in more and more minor league parks. And the AAA teams are kind of caught between, you know, we're serious. These guys are on the brink of going to the major leagues. They don't want all that nonsense. They don't want to have pies in the face in the middle of the inning. And yet that was a factor in drawing people to the ballpark. And over 70 games, you know, people in Canada, and this isn't a knock. I'm a Canadian myself. But, you know, you could honestly win 10 in a row or lose 10 in a row and get the same attendance, because it really wasn't the winning that impacted who came to the gate. It was, is it a nice night out? Is the beer cold? Are the tickets cheap? And am I going to have a good time at the park? And if the team wins, that's just gravy.
How you doing today? Yeah, we need,
good.
We need a big win right here. Yeah. What's up, buddy? How you doing today?
Down on the field before the game, Goldeye players are signing autographs and meeting their fans. Unlike AAA, Independent League Baseball is about winning championships, not developing stars for the major leagues. The fans know that their favorite players won't be constantly shuffled on and off the roster, and the team might even contain a few hometown boys to cheer for.
Yeah, we need a big win today.
Most of these players still carry the dream of playing in the major leagues one day. Some never got drafted by a big league organization. Others did, but were cut loose somewhere along the road to the big leagues. All of them think they still have something to prove. Winnipeg may be a baseball backwater, but for ballplayers at this level, it's become a highly desirable destination. Mike Kasevich is originally from Ottawa, one of three Canadians on the Goldeyes roster.
I love it, actually. City's great. You've got a great fan base here. Management, everything, they treat you well. Feel like you're in the big leagues here. Not that I know that was like, I guess, but played with six organizations up to AAA, and, you know, this is by far probably the best stop, and they treat you better than they treat you in AAA. You get more respect here. There, you know, you're a number, you're a piece of meat. Here they actually look you in the eye, say hello by your name, and just treat you like a person as opposed to, you know, a number.
The Goldeyes have proven to be a very profitable business venture for Sam Cates. This season, attendance topped 300,000 for the sixth consecutive year. But not much of that wealth trickles down to the players. Top salary for a veteran is about $3,000 a month. Rookies get $1,000. The league imposes a strict salary cap of $105,000 per team per season. To put that in perspective, the Goldeyes' total payroll is less than what Roger Clemens makes pitching one inning for the New York Yankees. A couple of years ago, teams from Calgary and Edmonton joined Winnipeg in the Northern League. Neither franchise has been as successful as the Goldeyes so far, but the salary cap means you don't need to sell many tickets to make money in independent baseball, which is why, more and more, this looks to be the future of the game in Canada. It works for the owners and the fans, and on some levels, for the players too. It turns out that it's not baseball that's dead. It's the old way of doing business that's no longer viable. We may never again see Canadian cities hosting the farm teams of big league clubs. But there's clearly more to baseball than that.
Please come and sign the petition to keep our baseball park for baseball. Please email the mayor and city councillors to keep baseball in Ottawa.
Back in Ottawa, people are preparing for life after the Lynx. Next spring, the franchise will reemerge as the AAA affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies, based in Allentown, Pennsylvania. They will be known as the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. But it is the fate of Lynx Stadium that is on the minds of fans as they file out after the last game. Hundreds stop to sign a petition opposing a plan by Ottawa City Council to convert this ballpark into soccer fields. With the Lynx gone, Ottawa baseball fans are pinning their hopes on getting a franchise in the Can-Am League, an independent league that currently boasts 9 teams from the northeastern U.S. and Lake Capitale from Quebec City. If that happens, expect the new team to be a lot more fan-friendly than the old one. Expect to see fans dressed up as sumo wrestlers and lots of products tossed into the crowd. And maybe even some O. Henry bars tossed in the opposite direction. It may not be baseball for the purists. The skill level may not be as high as AAA, but it's still baseball, and that's the important thing. At Lynx Stadium in Ottawa, I'm Ira Basin for the Sunday edition.
Thank you, sir.
This is the Listener's Choice podcast, selected by me, Terry O'Riordan. If you've ever heard something on the radio that you want to hear again, email podcasting@cbc.ca. You can program and host your own CBC podcast. For Listener's Choice, this is Terry O'Riordan.
Listener's Choice.
Hi, I'm Jesse Brown. I'm the host of Search Engine, a new CBC radio show that is all about how the internet is changing politics and culture. It's not a gadget show. We don't really care much about technology so much as we care about the effect that technology is having on the world that we live in. All of the surprising and significant and funny stories that we bring you on Search Engine are about things that are happening right now. In the short time that we've been on the air, we've already become the CBC's most popular news podcast in the States. So come find out why. Subscribe to our podcast on CBC's podcasting page or through iTunes.